When his DNA matched a crime from 25 years ago, it seemed like it was finally game over for him. An attorney said it would be very hard for him to explain how his genetic material ended up on a victim he didn't know. But then the confession letters arrived, and an entirely different man was saying he planted the evidence. This is the story of Gregory Thompson, the Florida man who could have gotten away with it if it wasn't for his pesky doorbell camera. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. You know, this is just a quote-unquote fun thing I do on nights and weekends. So when I'm looking for the next case I want to research, I'm always thinking, do I want to spend my free time outside of work on this for the entire next week? It takes me way too long to pick out what I'm going to cover next because there's sadly so much crime out there that you see a lot of the same things over and over again. Like, yep, of course it was the husband in that one. And here's another one where the woman acted out of jealousy. And that guy was just a serial felon with no connection to his victims. For me, there has to be something special that makes me want to dig deeper. And in today's case, it's because, well, actually, I don't want to give it away. You'll see. On the morning of November 15, 1999, a 30-year-old woman left her apartment in Dunedin, Florida, north of Clearwater. She was just gone for a little bit when she walked her kid to the bus stop. And I don't know if it's because she was only going a short distance or if it's because it was the 90s, but she left her door unlocked. When she came back, a man with a knife was waiting inside for her. He threatened her, and of course she went along with what he demanded. He assaulted her, took photos of her, and then told her she had to go take a shower to get rid of the evidence. And good for her, she instead locked the bathroom door and started screaming her head off so the neighbors might hear her. That freaked the guy out, and he took off. She called 911 when it seemed like the coast was clear, and deputies were able to collect DNA from her. Unfortunately, it didn't match anyone in their databases, and the case was left to go cold. But it wasn't forgotten. In 2020, the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office took another stab at it and sent the DNA evidence to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. This time, there was a hit. Back in 2005, several years after this woman's assault, a man named Gregory Philip Thompson had been arrested for burglary, aggravated stalking of a child, and voyeurism. Police said he would drive to a neighborhood and then creep on foot through people's yards, peeking into their windows and videotaping them. The child in this case was a 15-year-old he had recorded naked before going into her home. He got 2 years of house arrest and 10 years probation, but more importantly, his DNA was added to criminal databases. Now, after 20 years, the 59-year-old was finally arrested and charged with sexual battery in May 2021. He denied the charges, and when WFLA interviewed his sister-in-law, she said,
Oh my gosh, there's no way. I just said, there is no way in this world.
Rosalind Ellis tells 8 on Your Side, there's no way Greg did this.
And I don't believe that DNA test at all. There's no way. I could bet my life on it, and I'm serious.
And I'm not trying to shame this woman because, like, what's a normal person supposed to say? I imagine if someone called me up about a relative whose DNA implicated them in a crime, I would be like, it just goes to show that you never can tell about a person. I believe the science. And then I'd get disowned by my entire family for being an unsupportive jerk. Normal people believe that their brothers-in-law are good people who would never assault women. With the DNA evidence implicating him, an attorney told WFLA that it would be tough for any defense lawyer to defend Thompson, because it's not like he and the victim knew each other and he could claim it was consensual. The attorney said, this is someone that is unknown to the victim, so this defendant is going to have a very hard time explaining how his DNA is on the victim's body. But just before Thompson was supposed to go to trial in September of 2025, new evidence came in that cast some doubt on the whole case. Thompson's defense lawyer and the Pinellas clerk of court both received letters in the mail where another man confessed to having a hand in the crime. This man said he had found religion in his later years, and his dying wish was that his confession would be mailed to the proper authorities when he passed. Now that time had come. He said in the letters that he had planted the DNA evidence in the assault, falsely placing the blame on innocent Thompson. This man confessing to the crimes was named James Apollonio, so I did some digging to see if I could find out anything about him. I'm not sure if it's the same person, but the James Apollonio I found does make sense. This man was from Delray Beach, a city in Florida, just like our victim and Gregory Thompson. He was 54 years old, so a very similar age to Thompson, and he had died in 2025, although it was in a different way than I expected. He had recently become homeless and was wandering around the Rainbow Homes neighborhood in February 2025 after midnight. In a surveillance video, he knocked on the door of one home and then looked in that person's mailbox. 10 minutes later, the owner came out of the house with a gun, started asking neighbors if they'd seen a white guy walking around, found James down the street, and shot him. The family claimed that they thought James had a gun, and of course, this being Florida and all, the owner of the house decided to kill the poor homeless guy even though he'd wandered off. The only thing is, this guy sent out 3 different letters supposedly confessing that he planted Gregory Thompson's DNA, but he spelled his own name wrong in one of them. So obviously, the authorities started looking into the letters a little more, and yeah, they found the post office security footage showing that Thompson's wife had mailed them. And then, after getting a search warrant at Thompson's house, it turns out that his own Ring doorbell had the best evidence they could ask for. Thompson was out of jail on bond at this point, and the Ring doorbell camera over his garage shows him coming out to his wife's car wearing gloves and putting some papers into it. She then comes out of the house, drives to the post office, and mails those letters while wearing gloves, a face mask, and a baseball cap. The clothes she wore in the post office security footage were even found at their house. Angela Yvette Thompson has been charged with fabricating physical evidence in the second and third degrees, which are felonies. Her case is in pretrial hearings right now, and I sure hope this guy was worth it to her. So Gregory Thompson kind of had no choice. In November 2025, he pleaded guilty to both the 1999 assault and tampering with physical evidence. He was sentenced to 40 total years in prison and will be listed as a predator. And in a little extra jab that I love, for at least the first 5 years of his sentence, he and his wife won't be able to communicate. Now, obviously, I don't think these two are the sharpest tools in the shed. The wife got tracked from the post office back to their own home, where their own doorbell camera caught the husband putting the letters into the car. But I will say their thinking wasn't all bad. If the guy they tried to pin the crime on is the guy I found, it wasn't a bad try. He was about Thompson's age, he lived in Florida, and he had a whole series of prior arrests. If you're trying to find someone to blame, someone who might actually make sense, he's not a bad person to pin it on. And the fact that he had recently died meant the story about the confession letters being sent as a dying wish could actually hold up. In a way, I'm a little impressed that the couple came up with this clever ruse. Unfortunately for them, their doorbell camera was just a little more clever. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.